Blog Talk Radio.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Bam, bam. And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop High Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful St. Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all of the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday. The first Thursday in March. It's March already. Damn, the world is flying by. Time is flying by, I should say. But we're here for another Thursday. Glad you guys have joined us. And I'm looking forward to a great show tonight. No guests, just me and Mr. Butt Cutlets himself, Jeff Towinski, will be on in a second. I'm going to just run it down for you real quick. But I guess I hope you guys have had a great week. There was still a little bit of the cold weather, but there is warm 60-degree weather next week. Right, Wednesday, Thursday, 60 degrees. God love it. God love it. Oh, boy, what the hell. But listen, before you know it, we'll be complaining about the heat. But for now, I hope you guys are nice and warm. I hope you guys have had a great week, and I'm looking forward to a nice weekend. But let's get through 3 hours of hard rock and heavy metal and, of course, a lot of wide world of sports tonight. We got plenty to talk about. We got some wrestling for you. Jeff's on a wrestling kick, so we got plenty of wrestling to talk about tonight. We'll talk some Jets and some free agents and guys twisting in a win over there. The Giants made a big release today. We'll talk some baseball. We got the NFL carousel, the quarterback carousel, I should say. A certain movie that is prominently talked about on the show, and you heard two clips from it, turned 37 this week. That's right, Spinal Tap, 37. Certain in the movies with my boy Jeff. Cut school to do it. Hope my parents aren't listening. Dad will probably get mad to find out that I cut school to go see Spinal Tap. We got plenty of other stuff to talk about. NFL free agency kicks off pretty soon, about 2 weeks away. I think it's the 17th, if I'm not mistaken. 12th to the 17th. March the 18th, Matt Salitri. Maybe Frank Jeffy. I got to get Frankie involved. But Matt Salitri, our good friend, will be joining us for a free agent show. That's right. We're going to do a little NFL free agency on March 18th. We'll dissect who's moved, who's about to move, and who's going to move. And I'm sure this is going to be a busy offseason. Lots of people getting cut because the salary cap is being lowered. I believe it's $180 million. So I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of people moving around. And I think teams are going to let the other teams set the market. So March 18th, Matt will join us. I think next week we'll have the boys from Corners of Sanctuary. Mick and the boys will be joining us. I got a message this morning. They want to come on and promote some new stuff, so they'll be on next Thursday night with us. But without further ado, I will bring on the backbone, my dear friend, and one hell of a nice guy, Mr. Jeff Towinski, onto the show. Let's get him up. What's up, Hefe?
What's going on, man?
Just kicking it up, getting ready to do a nice 3 hours of sports talk. We've had a week off, ready to do the show, man. What's going on?
Didn't we do it last Thursday?
Yes, we did. What I mean is it's been a week since the last show.
Yeah, I've lost all track of time.
Oh, yeah. The other thing I forgot to mention, and we've got a lot of wrestling. Well, I did mention the wrestling, but you know what? Before we get to wrestling, I have to get something off my chest. I need you to indulge me. First off, congratulations to both Texas and Mississippi, their governors, for actually saying, screw you, and we're opening. You know what? It's time. I'm glad they're doing it, and I am thrilled that a couple other states besides Florida have said F you to sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe.
It would be nice if there was a couple more every day.
Well, unfortunately, we don't know who Governor Mussolini seems to be fighting for. He's kind of like King Kong at the top of the building, Jeff. The planes are flying. They're shooting at him. He's swatting.
They took away some of his COVID powers, you know?
Yes,
right?
They did take away his emergency powers. Yes, that's the first.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yes, it is. And you know, it's bad when the bozo is on TV ripping you. You know you're having a tough day when Mayor DeBozo, the worst mayor, worse than Dinkins, is out there blasting you. That's bad.
Listen, it is what it is.
You know what my dream would be? My dream is to wake up one morning, turn on the news, and have the two of them letting out all the dirt. You know, the bozo, he doesn't pay his taxes. He's he's committed $17,000 criminal violations. Like, I just want the two of them to go at each other to the point where it just blows up.
It would be nice to watch them. Actually, what they should do is the celebrity death match
yes.
they used to do on MTV.
Yes.
And just let these motherfuckers go at it yes. for a couple minutes.
Yes, that would actually.
No hold barred. And
DeBozo.
No time limit.
Yeah, they take DeBozo, put him in a clown outfit, and then Governor Mussolini and the two of them be in the cage and destroy each other. Yeah, that would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
But, I have to say this. Can anybody out there who votes Democrat, you're crazy. I spent the week listening to people, first off, cancel out Dr. Seuss because of his racial overtones. And if it couldn't get any worse than that, they tried. Mr. Potato Head gender neutral. Folks, we are living in bizarro world. You have not seen the end of this. This is the beginning. And everybody who votes Democrat, this is what you get. And I hope you like what you're living in.
There is no explanation. There's no way to rationalize this. A plastic fucking potato.
Yes.
A plastic potato.
Yes.
You know what? Let's just one thing at a time. The plastic potato, Mr. Potato Head. I remember when I was a kid that all they did was give you the fucking pieces.
Yeah.
That your mom had to supply the actual potato. You know?
Oh, I don't remember that. I remember the plastic one. I don't remember the pieces that you put on the actual potato. That one's
Maybe it was a knockoff that my mother bought it on me. I don't know. But I remember them like giving me a potato and then like using the things and like poking the shit out of it.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, okay, time for dinner. And then they grabbed Mr. Potato Head and threw him in the stove.
Mr. Potato Head became Mr. French Fries?
Yeah, exactly. But Dr. Seuss.
Oh, God.
Okay. Now, I'm not condoning it, so please, please don't think that. But if you've seen some of the images,
yeah,
they I can't say they have a basis for it, but you should have known sooner or later somebody was going to complain about this. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem as though that Dr. Seuss in real life was the nice guy that he was in the books and everything else. He was a little fucked up. His wife was dying. He was banging some other chick behind her back and, you know, but listen, this is their life, but we don't care about their lives. We care about the books that he made and everything, and the Grinch who stole Christmas and the Cat in a Hat, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know half of these other books that they came out with.
I didn't know they even existed. Green Eggs and Ham.
Cat in a Hat.
Yeah. You got me for 3 or 4. To be honest with you, I'm not even the biggest fan of Dr. Seuss. The movie was terrible, whatever that movie they tried to make about it. Was terrible.
What was that with Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Michael Myers,
yeah.
Something like that?
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Are you a Grinch fan?
I'll say this. I love obviously the Grinch Who Stole Christmas is one of my favorite. I watch it every year. I think it's funny. I think it's fun, and that's it. Other than
that, I watch it every year. I make sure that I watch it every year. But it is one of the only Christmas cartoons where if I watch it once, I'm good.
Yes.
If I don't watch it, so be it. As long as I get Charlie Brown in and Rudolph.
Yeah.
That's it. The Grinch is definitely second or third tier as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with that. But it's still one of those when it pops up on the TV and you got nothing to do, you flip it on and you watch wherever it is you want. Yeah.
If it's there, I know, it's on tonight. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yes.
I'll seek it out. But if I missed it, I missed it. It's also on like 37 times.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Christmas season.
I was going to say the same thing. It is on all the time. But again, you watch it. Maybe you pick up the last 10 minutes. Maybe you watch the first 10. Maybe you watch the next 20. Who knows? But, you know, again, this whole cancel culture thing, boy, if people aren't paying attention, they are just everything. I mean, you know, now they're starting to fight back a little bit on this transgender boys competing in girls sports. At least now people start to fight back a little bit. So thank God for, you know, just a little, man.
Well, now they're saying that your boy, right, could turn around and decide at 4 or 5 years old that he wants to be a girl.
Yes.
And could be like,
yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I was 4 or 5 years old and my mother said, we have cookies tonight for a snack. What would you like, Oreos or chocolate chip? This was a monumental decision at 5 years old. Now I'm supposed to realize that, you know what, I'm a girl. I'm not a boy, I'm a girl.
Are you kidding me? I watched a Senate debate with Biden's hopeful, one of his cabinet picks, one of his people, and they were asking the guy about it, like, should kids at that age decide, and the guy wouldn't answer the question. I mean, it was a simple answer. No.
That was transsexual, right?
Correct. And the guy would not answer the question. I mean, Rand Paul.
Okay, you're a guy. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Well, what is he going to say? How can you answer this question? You won't allow somebody under the age of 18 to vote. You won't allow somebody under the age of 21 to buy alcohol or tobacco. Okay? You won't legalize marijuana even after it has been shown to have some beneficial purposes for people.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you'll allow a 4 or 5 year old to decide that they should live life as a girl.
You can't.
Where is the fucking rationalization?
You can't make this stuff up, man. I'm telling you, we are doomed. I mean, listen, I'm watching, you know, again, I haven't watched a ton of new stuff lately, but I keep my, like, you know, my ear to the ground. I read the paper. I flip on the TV. I listen to it on the radio on the way home. But, you know, they're letting thousands and thousands. They're expecting 170,000 immigrant children to be let into this country this year without their parents. 170,000. These means these kids have traveled all this way to be let into this country. Okay? Where is the madness stopping? They let 100 known people with COVID into this country, let them in and move on without stopping them, without making them quarantine. Jeff, if you and I try to travel to Mexico and back or someplace and back, we have to, what the hell's going on with that? We have to quarantine for 14 days. Hey, you know what? Let me get my dad on because I think for some reason I screwed up Blog Talk. Let me get my dad on. We'll get back to that in a minute. Let's see. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Hello, Jeff. How you doing? I'm good. I didn't hear you mention it. I don't know if you're aware of it. They mentioned today Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how they have a Jackie Robinson Day?
Yes,
and
I meant to bring
Roberto
it up.
Clemente, they're doing Lou Gehrig now.
Yes. The entire league will celebrate
shocking.
Lou Gehrig Day June 2nd.
That's
right.
Beautiful.
But what made it shocking, because if you ask, and I'm sure if you ask 100 people, 99 of them probably said they thought it would have been a Babe Ruth. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that he don't deserve it, but I'm saying I can understand Lou Gehrig.
Well,
Lou
they're doing it in conjunction with with the foundation for
ALS. Plus, you can't really dig up any dirt on Lou Gehrig. Ruth, you could spend 2 months picking up stuff on him.
Well, yeah, I'm sure
get
this gets a contract. Yeah, I think, Jeff, in this day and age, it's a lot easier to get people to – it's a lot easier to celebrate Lou Gehrig than it is Babe Ruth.
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah. Oh, God, what he did.
I'm actually surprised they didn't pick June 4th to coincide with his number.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Lenny, now, what's up there, Big Lenny? Yeah, I agree with that. I'm surprised they didn't. I'm surprised they didn't do July 4th. Wasn't July 4th the day that he had the big speech?
Yes.
No, it has something to do with this. There's a reason why they picked June 2nd. There
yeah.
Was a reason.
Yeah, it's they didn't say why.
I think it was his last game or something, or a speech. Or
I think
like
it's
that.
I think it's great because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, obviously my son's generation and younger, who probably don't know much about Lou Gehrig other than Lou Gehrig's disease. So I think it's a great thing for the game.
Most people, even our age, my age, your age, a lot of baseball people have no idea of how great of a ball player he was.
Oh.
I mean, if you look at the records that he had and the hits he had and what he did,
yeah.
I mean, he was Ruth. Don't listen. You can't take anything away from Babe Ruth. He was just a phenomenal. He was like you'll never see anybody like him again. But Gehrig was just like he was there.
No.
He did a lot of hits, a lot of – he was an excellent fielder. He was just a great ball player. And, and I always said I was glad they picked him. I really am.
Yeah, I agree. And, Jeff has made the case on this show many times that there's a case to be made for Lou Gehrig being, you know, if not the best, top three baseball player of all time.
I have to put it by – tell you what, if you ask me, I would have to say just – naturally, I never saw him. Just what I heard and read about him, Ruth had to be number one. Whatever you thought of him as a human being, and he had a lot of things that he was like animalistic.
But you know, I agree with that. But you know, if you take Gehrig's stats and just give it another 4 or 5 seasons, I mean, he's coming close to a lot of the records.
Oh, I agree.
Good.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that. I mean, Jeff made the case.
I'll make one case right now, and I'm sure you'll definitely agree with this. Knowing that he batted behind Babe Ruth, look at the numbers he put up batting behind Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
I agree. Just numbers speak for themselves, and he was batting behind Babe Ruth. Incredible numbers.
Listen, nobody's going to take away the fact that Babe Ruth probably and did absolutely save the game after the Black Sox scandal. You know, Babe Ruth made home runs famous, hitting more home runs than the entire teams in the entire league sometimes. But, and I'm not knocking Babe Ruth. The guy was a great pitcher on top of being a great baseball player. But let me tell you something. You know, there's personality-wise, you know, if Gehrig was a little more vocal, you look at his stats. I mean, it's some of his seasons are amazing. Not great, amazing.
Yeah, he was a tremendous ball player. Matter of fact, they interviewed Yogi Berra. And Berra said the same thing. People talk about Ruth, he said, and I have nothing against Ruth. He said, I saw Ruth. Ruth was a great ball player. He said, but Gehrig, there was nobody could touch him. He was just like a phenomenon.
And I have to be honest, you know, the simple fact, I got to be honest, you know, we talk about it all the time where they stop celebrating. You know, it's like football. No, you know, football didn't exist before the Super Bowls. You don't get a lot of that other than the Yankees and some maybe the Dodgers. You know, most teams don't celebrate that, you know, long gone era. And for baseball itself to basically make that Lou Gehrig Day across the league, I think I'm sure maybe everybody will wear number 4 that day. You know, retiring number 4 across the league, I don't think it's going to happen. But I think it's a great gesture, and I'm really happy to see this. I think this is a good thing for baseball.
I think. I agree. I mean, I always said they should have retired Robinson number, which they did, Clemente's number. Which I don't think they did.
Just Robinson's as retired.
Yeah, and then I think they should have went with, to be honest with you, Ruth. I mean, as great as Gehrig was, I mean, you couldn't take, he was just too, you keep saying to yourself, you know, he's like Mantle and a lot of other players. Had he just played baseball, what would he have done? Nobody would have broken any of his records. They estimate he would have hit like 80, 90 home runs a year if he was just a normal human being.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to knock Babe Ruth. I think Babe Ruth will stand the test of time. The guy has, you know, the guy passed away in I think 1953, 1948, I believe.
Right.
to this day, everybody knows Babe Ruth. There's the, you know, you're the casual baseball fan. You know, people who aren't even baseball fans. If you ask them for a baseball player, that's the guy.
He overshadowed a lot of people in his time and after him because of the records and the stories and everything else that he was part of and that he helped.
Yeah.
You can't hold a home run record and not have, you know, a million stories about you circulating.
You know what makes me more appreciative of Ruth? Because, I mean, you can look this up in your record books. Show me a home run hitter batted over 300 and lifetime batting average of what? 342. You have to. I mean, I love Hank Aaron. I think he was a great ball player. But none of these guys even come near. I mean, even Maris, when he hit 61 home runs, what did he bat? 269 that year?
Yeah, listen, let's. You know, Roger Maris was a good ball player, really good ball player. But the guy, you know, he realistically had one great season. Other than even, and you're right, even then he probably didn't hit 260 that year.
That's all he did. He hit 269.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, hey, I just think that, and the funny thing is, did you ever watch the movie, The Pride of the Yankees?
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure you did.
Sure.
I read an article that his wife, Lou Gehrig's wife, was the complete opposite of the woman that.
Oh, really?
Later, yeah, she. She smoked. She drank. They said she cursed like a truck driver.
Oh, really?
She was. That's why she didn't get along with his mother.
Oh, okay. Just, makes sense.
I thought it was very funny.
I never saw. I mean, I saw the movie and the way they portrayed Eleanor Gehrig. I'd have to go back and now do
a sweet lady, right?
Yeah, it was a sweet little woman with the sweet. The husband's the nicest guy in the world. Although I have to tell you, the fact that they tried to portray Gary Cooper as Lou Gehrig was holy cow. One of the worst.
Yeah.
There's been some bad. John Goodman as Babe Ruth was terrible. There's been a few bad ones, but boy, that might Gary Cooper as Lou Gehrig may have been the worst portrayal of as a baseball player.
I'm sure that everybody has their vision of guys like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in their mind. And then no matter how good the actor is, and no matter who the actor is, You have a way, because we don't know what they were like. We never seen them on TV. There were no interviews, nothing. So you don't know what they were like. So when the actor comes out, if the actor doesn't portray these people like you think they should be portrayed, it kind of takes away from what they're doing, don't you think?
No, a little bit. But the problem is, I mean, what you want is the actor to look like a baseball player. I mean, Gary Cooper looked like he never swung a bat in his life.
John Goodman definitely looked like fucking Babe Ruth.
Listen, there was a Babe Ruth story that you remember, that you got to remember this one. The one with William Bendix. Yes,
that was terrible.
Oh, scared.
That was the worst movie I ever saw in my life.
William Bendix looked like he had never seen a baseball game in his entire life. That's how bad of an athlete.
And most of the statistics on here were wrong. Taking the dog to the hospital.
Jeff, again. Just, you want a guy, listen, like, I look at a guy like Kevin Costner. Now, Kevin Costner looks like a baseball player when he plays in a baseball movie. He has the mannerisms.
Right.
He has the swing. He did a whole movie as a pitcher. He looked like he could pitch. Is Kevin Costner going to strike anybody out? No, but you go out there and you just give that appearance of knowing the looking like an athlete, looking like a ball player thing. That's all. I mean,
come on, man. Babe Ruth looked like he worked Monday to Friday, probably in somebody's accounting firm, and then on the weekends, the fat bastard got up and was able to hit the ball further than anybody else.
That's a good analogy of him.
You never would have thought he was an athlete.
You never thought he could hit.
No, I agree. Hard Rocket Sports, Tom, Jeff, and now my dad hanging in, talking about Lou Gehrig Day. June 2nd, everybody in baseball will celebrate Lou Gehrig and the foundation.
I'm just glad he's getting the recognition
that
he deserves all these years. Most people probably don't even know who he is.
I agree. I think this is great. I think it's a fantastic thing for baseball.
It would be a great idea to have a show that night to commemorate.
Hey, listen, don't twist my arm, man. You want to come on the air and do an hour get Lou Gehrig stuff and all that? I'm with you. You never have to twist my arm on that stuff. So,
all right, guys, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you letting me.
Come on, love having you.
And we enjoy. And just remember that there was a Lou, because I keep saying it, but a lot of people don't know who the hell Lou Gehrig is.
No.
All they think is a disease. When you say Lou Gehrig, they say, oh, you mean the disease.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Listen, it's like Tommy Jones.
And I saw another article that a lot of people think he didn't die from the disease. He died from what, well, because of the, he was, don't forget, in these days, when a guy gets hurt in the head, okay, they take him out, they put him for the concussion. A lot
right.
of people think he had a lot of brain damage, that they played without helmets. A couple of times he played, he slid into second base, they said, and he got knocked out. And it's not even leaving the game, but he stood in the game. After they got him up, they
listen,
put him in again. Solid sword.
Different eras of games. The guys played through.
There
played
you
through
go.
That stuff back
but
in the day. So,
you,
yes,
you
and
can't
I'm all
take
glad.
Away.
He's a Yankee, but he's one of the greats of all time. And I'm glad. I'm
I
glad to see that
you.
There's a Lou Gehrig
all
day
right, guys.
And all in all of baseball.
Take care. Have a good
bye,
one,
Pops.
Jeff, say hello to your parents for me.
I will, Mr.
And,
Florio.
See you over the weekend,
okay,
Pops.
You take care. I'll talk to you on the weekend, Tommy.
You got it. That's my Pops. He checks in, Jeff. You know, to me, Jeff, that's not going to be big for you. You know, deep down, that Lou Gehrig may be your favorite baseball player.
Oh, I would say without a doubt. I mean, he reminds me of so many different things, you know, pertaining to, like, you know, my grandparents and other relatives that would have been around to see him and everything else. And
right.
he just reminded me of the people of that era.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, he was from that era.
Absolutely.
But it's just like, every time that you see a picture of Lou Gehrig, look up Lou Gehrig. Every single picture you see, he's got a smile from ear to ear.
Yeah.
He just looks like he would have been the guy that everybody would want to go talk to because he just looked friendly, approachable.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he was into, like, I to compare to the wrestlers, how certain wrestlers, doing a wrestling segment,
mm-hmm.
how they get into the business aspect of it so much, and they're so about the business, as they say.
Yep.
To me, Lou Gehrig looked like he was about the business of baseball. Not so much the contract, but he liked to go play. He mm-hmm. liked, he was into the game. He was all about baseball.
Yep.
And I don't think that you could say that about very many sports and athletes in today's time.
No.
So if you saw a guy that was into the game, you know,
mm-hmm.
about how the game was played, like how you say when you're going to punt, when
yep.
you're going to do this. When, I bet you that he could talk for days about baseball and what he thinks this happened, what should have been done and how the game should have been played. And just listening to him talk about that probably would have been, like, phenomenal to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you're not going to get that from today's athlete.
I agree, guys. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night talking a little bit about Lou Gehrig. We got we got a little tribute to Spinal Tap coming up. We got some wrestling coming at you. We got NFL news and notes. We got two metal giants getting together next year. We'll talk about that. I want to talk a little about Randy Rhoads and the place he fell in the Rolling Stone Top 100. I think we actually might have talked about this years ago, but I wanted to bring it up again. We'll get a little Mets and Yankees. I got Jets and Giants stuff. Yeah, hang in there tonight. I want to just throw a little something by my friend Leonard Anthony out there, Mr. Rosebank himself. He's got a new project, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. And any Thursday night, he's available. Of course, we're going to have him on. He'll get to promote it and talk about it. And you get a chance to follow Anthony. You follow him on Facebook and listen to the man. Almost nightly, I get to listen to a couple minutes of him singing. It's a lot of fun. So make sure you follow our good friend Leonard Anthony on Facebook and all social media. So, Jeff, where do you want to go next? Jeff, I'm going to leave it up to you tonight. Where do you want to go next?
You said something that struck a nerve, and I think that it should be addressed right now.
Oh, boy.
Before we go any further. No,
here
it's
we
okay.
Go.
It's okay.
It is.
I really think that we should touch base before it gets too late and gets walked over, Spinal Tap.
Oh, okay.
I really think that we should spend some time on Spinal Tap.
All right, hold on. Let me get prepared here. I want to bring up. You go first. I want to bring up some historical facts on it, but I'll let you go first about your thoughts about one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie of all time.
Well, listen, we've said this before 1,000 times. When Spinal Tap came out, we were like, we went to the movies to watch it, and we were like, what is? Who are these guys? Who is Michael McKean?
Mm-hmm.
Is he Michael McKean from Spinal Tap? Or is he Michael McKean from Laverne and Shirley and any other show that we've seen him on?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were just like, he did both parts so great.
Yeah.
And they, you know, yeah, we were a little stupid back then, I guess, too. But
well, it was so convincing.
Like, yes. Yes, he was. With Rob Reiner, and we're like, but he's Meathead from the Archie.
Yeah.
What do you mean he's Marty DeBerge? He can't be Marty DeBerge. He's Meathead. Like,
yeah.
Who are these people? And like all of the different people that came through in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was just, it was everything that you would imagine of an aging band to be.
Yes.
But the sad part of mm-hmm. all of that is when you hear them talk and you're like, you know, we're approaching 40 now. Like, whoa, relax, son. I'm approaching 60 and I'm still trying to fucking play. You know, and come up with, like, I got to learn this song and do this. And they're talking about being close to 40, closing in on 40. Who wants to do this at 40? You know, like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? I wish I was 40 again like they were. But it's so great.
Oh.
And everything about it, like, when Nigel and David ended up breaking up, and Nigel left the band,
mm-hmm.
and then when he came backstage, I could watch that clip over and over and over and over again all day long.
Yes.
When he comes in, you know, I just come in as just a messenger.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Final tap, sex phone.
You know, David's first reaction of, oh, you're here to save, like he completely blows him off, and then for some reason, Nigel actually hangs out and stays. After getting abused.
Yeah, right. Like, he gets totally abused and he actually stayed.
And backstage, no less. But you know, here's the thing. First off, I found out, reading about Spinal Tap, I learned a few things this week. First thing was that the band that they emulated or that Rob Reiner kind of fashioned his ass after was Judas Priest. Because, don't forget. Do you remember the very first videos of Priest you ever saw was with them with the flowered shirts? Remember, you ever see those videos?
Yeah.
So, and then Priest had to change over after that to the metal and the leather and all of that. And Priest had gone through a bunch of different drummers during their career.
Oh, boy. You're ruining Spinal Tap for me.
So I'm just saying that's where he got the inspiration for Spinal Tap was from following Judas Priest.
That's where Priest got the inspiration.
That's very possible. It's very possible. Let's see. There's a couple of Did you know that Christopher Guest before Spinal Tap, him and he had performed other places as Nigel Tufnell.
Yes.
I went. I'm telling you. I researched. Guest had previously played guitar under the name Nigel Tufnell on Michael McKean and David Landis' album Lenny and the Squigtones.
Really?
Yes. So, yes, it's let's see. There was a couple other ones. McKean and Guest began to improvise, inventing characters that became David St. Humphreys and Nigel Tufnell. This is from like the late 1978. They were working on a pilot for a sketch comedy called The TV Show. And during that, they actually invented the characters, Nigel and David.
Wow.
Yes. So, wow. I did some research this week. Now, here's what I'll say. Again, and the influence of Spinal Tap over the hard rock and metal world is amazing. But I think, Jeff, the true test for Spinal Tap, the true legacy for Spinal Tap will be, you know, 40, 50, 60 years from now when all of our favorite bands are long gone. Most of us are probably long gone. And I think the true test will be that the kids or people will watch that movie and know what it was really like for those bands in that time. I think that it's a really, as much as it's a goof, it really is what the era was like with those bands. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, of course. And we're going to actually hopefully be here to see this in 3 years with Spinal Tap. I mean, only Spinal Tap would celebrate their 37th anniversary.
You know, well, it's classic Spinal Tap.
You know, like, I'm surprised they didn't release a box set or something and them thinking, come out and say, you know, like, well, we got confused and thought it was 40 years, but it's only 37, but here you go anyway, and it's an unreleased track. that would have just made it even that much fucking better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely would have made it even better. So,
you know, if they came on and for every time that you buy the box set, it comes with like a little Stonehenge and, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
I'm telling you, it's funny that, you know, if you get a chance, Google Spinal Tap movie and read the Wikipedia, because there's a lot of little things on it that I didn't know, like, you know, different pieces of characters and who, you know, the whole movie was improvised. You know, they kind of went out there and said, hey, you know, this is where you start, this is where you finish, and this is the goal of this scene. Go ahead and do it. And basically the whole movie was improvised. They tried to write it, and they said it just couldn't be written. They had to just go out there and improvise it.
Really?
Yep. The scene at Elvis's grave is not at Graceland. It's a made-up thing. They just picked some park someplace and did it somewhere in L.A.
Really?
Like, there's a lot of stuff that I picked up that you didn't know. Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you what my favorite scene or my favorite moment in the entire movie is. I've got many. I've got many. Okay.
Of course, man. You can't go wrong anyway.
Correct. My favorite spot in the movie, yes, he is, definitely, is when they're sitting poolside and they're talking. And Marty DeBerge says, and I want to talk to you about your album. The review of your album, Shark Sandwich, was a two-line review that said, shit sandwich. And I said, to me, to this point, I still crack up every time I see
you
that.
Didn't say that.
Because they're actually laughing when they say, so it's like they got, there's so many points in the movie where, you know, the I Love Lucy Jazz Festival, like, come from. It was completely improvised, and that's why.
You tell me they improvised shit sandwich.
Yes.
The first time they heard it.
Yes. It's the best. Yes. That's the point of it is, you know, you just, when you go back and you think most of this is what was done with one take. I mean, they had the budget for the entire movie was $4 million.
See, back fucking almost 40 years ago. That's a lot.
I guess. I don't know. But it was all basically done in L.A. And, you know, you think about all the people who had cameos in that movie. But the biggest thing for me was in the research was so many different big-name musicians, guys like Jimmy Page. I think the guys from Aerosmith, they were all saying, hey, we had similar experiences like that. We got lost backstage. It was kind of just like that. And there was a bunch of bands. All different guys, like the guys from Dokken, a bunch of bands, Rat, they were all like, we looked at that movie and we thought it was a movie about our band because we did some of those things and a lot of those crazy kind of things happened to us. And I said, you know what? Someday people will look back on this era and that's the movie that they should watch. 1980s hard rock and metal. If you want to know what it was really like, that was it.
Yeah.
Favorite scene, yeah. Jeff. Give me your favorite scene in the movie.
Favorite scene had to be when Nigel was on stage singing, and he looked over when St. Hubbins was on stage singing, playing.
And doing
he looked over at Nigel, and he looked at him, and he's playing, and he's like, and Nigel's with me, and he's like, come on, boy. And it was just, forget about it. The hair on my neck stands up, because it was like, They broke apart, but they were colliding back towards one another.
Yes.
They each needed one another,
yes.
And it happened. And then, like, imagine being in that crowd that night, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, all of a sudden, that your favorite band reformed on stage in front of you. And just the way, you know, Nigel Tufnell lead guitar, and he comes back out and he starts playing, and the crowd's going completely fucking mental. And it's just great stuff.
Oh.
And it's like, you can't, it's almost like, I hate to say this all night long, but it's almost like wrestling.
Yeah.
Like when Hulk Hogan got hit a couple times and all of a sudden he starts doing this, you knew that what was going to happen.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's like.
But you still got excited.
Yeah, of course. Nigel shows up backstage.
Yeah.
You know, there just happens to be all these guitars on stage. It's
yes.
Great stuff.
Yes.
Ian's back. The whole family's back together. It's great stuff.
Listen, it's a classic movie. We celebrated here from the time the show started. Before Jeff was a full-time part of the show, I dedicated an entire night to to the movie way back in the day. And, you know, I didn't even realize it was March 2nd. 1984 that the movie came out. Jeff brought it up. I said, you got to get it in, and we did. And there's so much. I mean, there's so many little things. I mean, I've watched the uncut version or the one with all the deleted scenes. Even crazier when you do it. And in fact, that video, the VHS, is a very rare thing. I actually have it. I'm glad I still have it. I don't know if it'll ever be worth anything, but it's very rare.
Say it again, man. I would have it fucking saved.
Yeah, it's. I don't think I can. I certainly don't have a VHS machine, so I have it. I'm staring at it right now. But yeah, I will tell you. For me, I would listen. I think it's the preeminent rock and roll movie of all time, maybe music movie of all time. I'm not sure, but is absolutely my top five favorite movie. Easy. I watch it every so often, and it's got a lot of memories. I mean, listen, cutting out of school with you and my brother and Joey and maybe your brother. I don't remember who else was with us. You know, all the times we've quoted the movie and everything that goes with it. It just has a ton of memories.
I remember one time, you know, I don't know if you're going to remember this.
None.
I'm glad just thinking about it. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get the story out. We were playing football up at PS13. And I forget who was on what team, but I know that me and your brother were on opposite teams. And I guess we just weren't into playing that much that day.
Uh-huh.
And we're covering one another. Uh-huh. Now, I don't remember who was on the offense team. Not important.
Not important.
All I know is we were on opposite teams, and we're singing Spinal Tap songs to one another. Listen to the Flower People or whatever it was. And we're going out. We're like, listen to what the Flower People say. Right? And Richie's like, shh. And I remember you're like, you fucking jerk off, stop. We're supposed to be playing football. What are you fucking assholes doing? Like yelling at us because we weren't taking the game seriously. And your brother was like, what the fuck? Fuck him. Come on. And we do it again. We start singing again on the way out. And it was just hysterical shit.
Oh, my
like,
God.
You know, like we were just goofing off.
Yeah, that's what we did. That
was great.
Yeah.
It was great stuff.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. If, you know, we've played one Spinal Tap song in our Hard Rock and Sports Band. We actually have gotten one in. Not my favorite one, but we got one in. I will tell you that somewhere along the line, we have to get one in a regular set at a show before we're done. And Stonehenge has to be the one. Stonehenge? Got to be.
Dude, I don't know this. Or Sex Farm.
Oh, it's a ton of hellhole. We can get more. Listen.
Sex Farm is just such a awesome song. It's the dumbest song pretty much ever written. But you see my silo riding high. Like when we were younger, I never caught on to this. Like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, I'll see my silo riding high. It's like, this is great songwriting. Where'd you come up with this? You know what I mean?
You think when they wrote it? I mean, listen, I own the album. I have it somewhere. It's hanging on the wall in my room here. You know, it's to me, to this day, the music still carries. I love listening to it.
The song Sex Pump.
Damn.
When they go to the Air Force Base.
Yes.
Okay. And that major, I forget what that actor's name was, but he's the Army guy.
Fred Willard, my friend. It's Fred Willard.
Fred Willard, that's right.
Just passed away.
I'm with the band. My hair's getting a little long. It's barely touching his collar. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
But then they're like, okay, we're going to go on and like 3,900 hours, and they're trying to figure out military time. And then the next thing you know, you just see St. Hubbins, and he's just working on a sex farm as they're playing. And it's like,
well, he just asked them to play. He said, will you play something slow so I can dance?
So I can dance.
And then the next scene is them playing the sex farm, and all the white people trying to dance to the song.
Yeah,
I will say this, my favorite scene, now listen, I got many, like you said, but my favorite was probably Nigel and Ian in the dressing room trying to figure out the cold cuts.
Yeah.
To me, one of my favorite scenes, one of those things, anytime I'm making a sandwich, it'll pop up in my head and go, I'll fold it and keep folding it. It doesn't fit on the bread. It's a classic movie. And it's no dumber than, you know, no green M&Ms in somebody's rider. You know, it's no dumber than some of the things you've read about some of these stars.
Riders.
Yeah.
Some of those things that people wanted were just put there just so that they could say, like, you know, we told them no green M&Ms. You know, like every fucking package of M&Ms has 9 million green M&Ms in it.
So you think that's something to see how much you can get away with? Like, all right, let's see what we can say. Yeah.
And then there's Nigel having a nervous breakdown because, you know, the meat is bigger than the bread. And then the, look, there's a little guy there. Nobody home in this one. You know, it's just great shit, man. It's fucking great shit.
But, you know, to finish it up, honestly, you know what people don't understand is when you're 14 or 15 years old, which is probably what we were about that point in our lives.
No, dude, here's the sad part. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
It came out in 1984.
Oh, you were graduating high school.
I was 16 going on 17, which means that you were 15 going on 16. So we were a little bit older than we thought. And then you're thinking, like, is Michael McKean really an up to hand? Is Rob Reiner really Marty DeBurgi? What the fuck is going on?
But you know what the funny part, what I was getting at, and you're 100% right, was they were such good musicians that they pulled it off. Like, they looked like guys who played in a heavy metal band, and they're all really good musicians. And we saw them live. Well, I don't know how much you saw, but we saw them live, and they all can sing, and they play, you know, amazing guitar and bass. And, it was at the time you went, is this really a band? And it was true.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I was in the same building as Spinal Tap was. Okay. Allegedly.
I have pictures.
Know.
You were in the building. You might have been having an out-of-body experience at that point.
Yeah.
The funny part was you woke up just at the end. It's the funniest part.
Oh, my God. I'll never forget that night. Man, you know what? I wouldn't have changed a thing about that night either.
No.
I wouldn't have changed a thing about that night.
No, because we had the most fun before.
It was Spinal Tapish.
Yes. Well, we were drinking. I was driving. You and Joey drank the entire way up to the thing. We drank in the bar. You were giving money away to people. Just was,
no.
Yes, you were. We had money piled up on the bar, and you would take the tip. Here's a tip. You would tip it. I'm like, relax. Hold on. It was like $150 on the bar. You were trying to give it all away.
Well, at least I'm generous.
Yes, you were very generous, but it was a good time. And listen, it's a classic. Would it be considered a cult classic? You know, kind of like what's that other one that people watch every Halloween? What's that one?
I know which one. fuck, it was almost there. Shit. Rocky Horror Picture.
There you go. Is it that? Or does it even have that status? I don't even know if it has that kind of status.
I don't think it has that. Not as big as Rocky Horror Picture.
Okay.
It might have a status with people in the heavy metal genre of music. Mm-hmm. It might have status there, but as far as people stopping doing what they're doing and acting alongside the screen,
mm-hmm.
no. Only in our circle does it mean as much.
Maybe. You know. And you know what? The other thing that was weird, I can't, no nudity in the movie.
No.
Very surprising, no nudity.
No, not even as a goof.
Yeah, I'm so saying, like, nothing. Like, it was actually kind of a PC movie at the time, but again.
When you think about it, you know, it just goes to show that you, I don't mind watching some girl's fucking cans go flashing across the screen.
I'm sure you don't.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
But do I need it in a movie?
No.
No, I don't give a fuck. Because that, say you're sitting watching a movie with your kids. You know, like, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
And when she was younger, watching a movie, and then all of a sudden, you know, okay, you see something bad is going to happen, and maybe it's a 5-minute scene. Next thing you know, it's like a 15-minute graphic blowjob scene. You know, and it's like, Daddy, what are they doing? Oh,
no. We
nothing. You're not seeing that.
Either I throw my kids out of the room or I fast forward it. One or the other. Had to be done.
Yeah. And you know what? It really doesn't matter at that point.
They know it's coming. Yes.
Now your kid now knows, like, something's wrong.
Yes.
I'm going to find this movie somewhere along the line and see what's going on.
Yes. And you know what? I heard a couple of guys today arguing over remakes and sequels to movies, and I don't know how, if you're any sort of a big fan of the movie Coming to America, that they're actually having a I thought it was tomorrow. Oh, the original.
No, the sequel. I think it's already on. It's on Netflix or something.
I think it starts. I think it's Amazon Prime tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
So they were talking about that, and first off, let me ask you. I don't know too many movies where the sequel was better than the original. Maybe Godfather could be. We can have that conversation. Godfather 2, Godfather 1. But, you know, there's not a lot of movies where you'd say, you know, the Rocky. I think Rocky 2 may be better than Rocky 1. I mean, there's a few. First of all, are you a big fan of sequels? And are you a big fan of remakes? Like, you know, like Could somebody take Spinal Tap and redo it now with different people?
No, I don't think the actors, I don't think there's any actors I would want to see. Matter of fact, I'd be honest with you, I watch so little TV and movies that I wouldn't even know what actors to even pick to redo it.
That's a great question.
But Coming to America may hold some weight because it's been so long since anything like that has come out from Eddie Murphy. And he went out and he did a couple skits, a couple old skits with Gumby and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, or Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, I'm sorry.
Yep.
That now all of a sudden him and Arsenio Hall, who vanished off the face of the earth, you know, is it going to be good? Even if it's horrible, it's probably going to be fucking funny. Because we don't remember what Coming to America was like years ago.
Yeah,
because it's been so long.
I haven't watched it in years, to be honest with you.
Either you're going to watch it again real quick, or you're going to maybe just watch the new movie and be like, man, this is pretty fucking funny, because it's Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm not opposed to sequels, and I mean, there's a few remakes. I think the I know you didn't see it, the Adam Sandler version of the Longest Yard was actually a good movie. It was actually funny. I enjoyed it. I loved the original, and that one was good. Not all of them stand up to the test of time. This is a remake. It's 20 something years, almost 30 something years, I think, in the maybe 30 years since the original.
Is it a remake or is it
no, it's part two. It's part two. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, listen. Eddie Murphy came out. He was a little dumb in the movie, smiling all the time. Always said, "Good morning, everyone."
Yes.
Well, fuck you,
Hakeem.
Fuck you too.
Yes.
You know?
There were some funny parts of that movie. It was a 50-50 on one of those movies that well, I loved it, liked it. It was a good movie. I watch it occasionally. Here's the problem. Like I go on usually every Saturday night. My wife and I will try to watch a movie, something. It is hard to find anything that you go, well, that looks good, and we watched. We get some tips from people, and we go to watch it. It's horrendous. I can't tell you how many movies we shut off, or documentaries we shut off in the middle.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
Hey, Will Cloak.
Second of all, if you're talking about watching movies on HBO or Showtime or whatever, I don't know where all of the good movies go. They just seem to go out in the movie theater and be like, oh, I want to watch that one. And then it disappears. You forget about it. The better movies are the ones that you have to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you rent them, you got like 24 hours or some shit to watch them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, if you don't watch them in time, then you lose them.
Yes.
My wife bought a movie about a year ago, and she bought The Joker. I don't know if you saw that movie.
No, I didn't see it.
Joaquin Phoenix. Was it Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes.
Okay, and the movie was a little, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely out there.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't really figure out, like, it just has nothing all to do with the Joker, but it's all about the Joker.
Right.
And it's just whacked out. But, like, she bought the movie. It was, like, $15. And then we switched cable boxes, and they're like, oh, you lost the movie. And then it was like, so we lost $15. And then she ended up finding it. Somehow, some way, and we were able to get it back. So she watches it once in a while, but you know, a lot of these other movies, you're right. You have to pay to watch them. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah, I would tell you, there's very few I've paid for. There's very few I've paid for. You know, I'll watch it. I'll wait till it comes out to the point where it's, you know, basically, I have an Amazon Prime account. I have a Netflix account, and you know, I'll catch it in one of those. I like a lot of the documentaries. We watch a lot of that, but. You know, we have different ideas on movies. My wife hates some of the movies I watch. I like a lot of old 80s movies, Top Gun, stuff like that. Just it's the fun movies. The music sometimes is pretty good. You know, and a lot of sports movies I watch, but I watch a lot of it now. Or this week I was on a wrestling kick. I watched everything wrestling that was ever.
I'm sure she must have liked that.
Oh my God, she goes. Yeah, you know, but she you know. Anyway, we watch a lot of movies. Not a lot of stuff. I was looking forward to seeing Coming to America 2, I guess. I don't know how they're calling it, but I'm curious to see how they pick it up 30 years later. I think it's always there. You know, it's like the Cobra Kai series. I know you haven't caught it. You haven't watched it. It's absolutely great. 30 years later, you're catching these guys all doing their thing. It's a lot of fun. So, we talked about Spinal Tap. I hope you guys are fans of the movie. If you've never seen it, please take some time one night. Watch Spinal Tap. You'll never regret it. But if you get a chance also, guys, Wikipedia Spinal Tap movie, there's a lot of stuff in there I had no idea. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the band I mentioned, Judas Priest, and a big tour they got coming up. We'll get to that in a little while. I want to get back to some sports, and then we'll kick it back. Remember, guys, next Thursday night, the guys from Corners of Sanctuary will be guests on our show. Mickey and the boys will be joining Jeff and I, talking a little bit about some of their new stuff that's out. I got an email. I'm going to be spending some time listening to some of their new stuff. And thank you to everybody over at RFL Records. Make sure on Wednesday nights you tune in to Talk in the Fast Lane, the RFL Records podcast. Each week, John cuts out there, does a great job interviewing celebrities, bringing on the band, some of the bands on the label, and just talking about music. So if you're free on Wednesday night from 7 to 9, check out Talk in the Fast Lane with our good friend John Marhefka and all the characters over at RFL Records. So, Jeff, I want to go do a little football right now with you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. We're always up for that.
Let's talk a little Jets and Giants quick. A little bit in the news today. You know, we got the draft coming up. We got about a month and a half before the draft. We got free agency starting. So we're going to do a little bit of a show on the 18th dedicated to free NFL free agency. And I got a feeling, Jeff, this year more than others, I expect a lot of players to be out there looking for a job because of the salary cap being lowered.
You know, and I don't know how well you're going to remember this, if you're going to remember this. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, and I'm going to give you a time when it was very reminiscent to, which is when hockey went on the lockdown years ago, and it ended up costing the season and the Stanley Cup and everything else.
Oh, 90.
And then when they started the season again. 95, 96, somewhere around.
It was after the Rangers won the Cup, so like a year or two after that.
The Rangers won the Cup, which was Shane Shirley was on the Rangers, Mike Keane.
Yes.
A whole bunch of, they had nothing but captains on the team.
Yes.
And then when they came back, it's like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Who are these guys? I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of it is simply this, that when the lockout happened, all of a sudden it's like all of these name brand guys, so to speak, just back disappeared. Like, where did they go?
Yeah.
I don't know where they went. And I believe that that's what's going to happen to football. You're seeing a lot of guys already getting released.
Oh, yeah.
Talk of them being released.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, like, you know, Big Ben signed a new contract today.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah. 39 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they signed him, you know, just like a one-year deal or whatever the fuck it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the guy's 39 years old. When was the last time that you saw two or three 40-plus year or close to 40-year-old guys in the league? Yes, Patrick, it might have been there, but there was a second lockout in hockey. That lockout caused them to do a shortened season. Mm-hmm. This lockout, I believe, was when the Rangers had a bunch of different guys, Shane Shirley, Mike Keane, Brian Scrudland on the team. There were nothing but captains and alternate captains. And like, all of these big-name guys, they just vanished. It's like, where did they go?
Yeah.
Were they all forced to retire? But what I was saying about football, it's like, usually you see one or two guys max at that age. Everywhere you look, there's a guy is he still playing? Drew Brees, Roethlisberger, Brady.
Yeah.
Just to name a couple. You could come up with more. I mean, Philip Rivers just retired.
Yeah.
You know, what's his face? Rogers, going to be 38 years old and he's still playing.
Yeah.
Like, how long are these guys going to stick around?
They seem to be in better shape. Now, the Big Ben thing is interesting. He probably added a year to his deal because he had a 40-something million dollar contract for this year. And the most they could shave off of it in a renegotiation was like $14 million, which is still
like
insane.
That,
so it would have been like $28 or $27 million for the season. So I bet you they added a year on, put some money to next year. And then I can't imagine that this isn't it for Big Ben. One way or the other, this got to kind of be it because he really wasn't great last year. He wasn't terrible, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't great. So it was probably a good move, and they'll probably take one more shot at it. I mean, they won the division last year.
Yeah, but you know what? That team was breaking down
as
we get near the finish line.
Yeah, I agree.
So I can't see that team making a sustained run, not with a 39-year-old quarterback. Although, you know, last year he had over 600 attempts.
Mm.
That was just tied for second most in his career.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
38 years old, 39 years old, however old he was.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of crazy. Let's go back to the Jets and Giants. I don't want to go around the league in the quarterback carousel. So the Jets, the big news for the Jets today, one, Marcus May is starting to make a little bit of the Jamal Adams thing. You know, here's the thing, Jeff, and I think Marcus May is a good player. So I think Jamal Adams is. Are you going to pay your safety $18 million a year, $19 million a year, $17 million a year?
I don't think that's what he's looking for, dude.
No, he wants to be paid with the top guys, and that's what the top guys are getting, $16, $17 million.
No,
now,
really?
Yeah.
I know. Well, maybe true. Actually, the franchise tag for safety is, I think, $11 million.
Now, I would franchise him. I think the guy's worth keeping. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't put the safety position as one where I feel like you have to pay for a guy. It's not an edge rusher. It's not a left tackle or a quarterback or maybe a dynamic receiver. I just don't put the money there for me on the team. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to keep Marcus May, but my bigger problem is, you know, now you got the agent, you know, the Jets have all this money. The Jets have all these draft picks, yet they won't pay their captain, their all-star. You know, I mean, come on, man.
I totally disagree with everything you're saying.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because let's just say that I'm the Jets, right? I'm the hierarchy. And
yeah.
I'm trying to convince you to come play for my team.
Yeah.
And I'm throwing numbers at you, but you're like, you know what? They didn't sign Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Okay, now Marcus May wants to go because they're not signing him. So now if I go there, I'm 25 years old, I go there, I have three great seasons, I got a chance at another contract,
yeah.
They're not going to pay me. So why am I going to give my all to this team for 2 or 3 years and not get the money that I'm looking for when the contract is over? Because they're not going to keep me. And any potential free agents are going to be like, you know what, Joe Douglas already has a reputation of doing things on the cheap and trying to get quantity over quality. Well, I'll take fucking four guards instead of two good guards. I'll take four mediocre guards and hope that they, you know, evolve.
Okay.
And it's not good. It's not a good thing.
No, but
a winner.
I agree with you, pay the positions that matter. Again, you got rid of Jamal Adams. Why? Because Jamal Adams was becoming a malcontent.
That was another story, dude. You traded him for two first rounders. You kind of had to do that.
I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying listen, if I'm the Jets, I want to keep Marcus May. Do I want to try to get him at 12, 13 million, give him a couple of years, give him some guaranteed money, put in his pocket? Yeah. Don't be a malcontent. Come out there and say, listen, let my agent handle it. I'll see you later.
What do you give Marcus May to stay in the fucking Jets?
If I'm the Jets, 4 years, 4 years, 65, I'll guarantee $35 million of it.
But that's just, 4 years.
Yeah.
$65 million.
4 years, right, 65 million.
You're talking what, 16 million.
Yeah, 16 and a half, 16, yeah, 16 million a year.
All right, so you're giving him the money that you just said that you don't want to give him. You're saying that 11 million is good for safety. Maybe you go 12 million,
yeah.
12 and a half million.
Okay, maybe I overdid a little bit. You're right. Okay, I'll agree with you.
You trade him, you sign him to a 3-year deal for 38 million, guarantee it at 30 million.
Okay, I can live with that. That's fine.
That would fucking,
yeah.
He'd sign that?
I don't know. If he does and goes out there and plays football, I'm all for it. I think I would.
He's also older, you know.
He's 25, 20, is he 28?
He's 28.
Yeah, so this is his last. This is his last shot at a contract.
Well, depending on what he.
Well,
buys.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, not too many guys get a chance to sign a $30 million, you know, long term deal in the NFL that means anything. I mean, J.J. Watt got 2 years.
You're right, not too many, but you know what? He also has time. If I was him, mm-hmm. if this is the case, then you turn around and you tell the Jets, look, if I play on the franchise tag, and then you don't do the right thing for the following year, that's it. I'm not signing. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't care.
The other,
you know, I'm 28 years old. I want to get paid at least once.
No, I agree. Listen, I agree. He should go get his money. Let's talk a little bit about Sam Darnold twisting in the wind. You know, there was. When Saleh took the job and Joe Douglas in the past, they made it pretty clear that they thought that Sam Darnold was going to be their guy. At least that's the impression I got reading and watching. Today, I read in the paper where Joe Douglas said, hey, we're listening. If anybody wants to talk about Sam Darnold, we'll listen. Do you think that's a smart move by the Jets to tell their quarterback, maybe their quarterback of the season, maybe the quarterback of their future, that they're basically hanging him out there to see if other people want, anybody wants that, wants him? You know, what if they wind up with him?
What they're doing, of course.
Yeah.
Nothing is, you know, nothing is good with all of this for Sam Darnold. They're basically telling him, like, look to move on, man. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, listen, if somebody, everybody knows that the Jets have a chance to go take a quarterback in the draft. They have a ton of money in free agency. They can make a play for some of the guys we're about to talk about. I don't see the need to put that out there. If I'm Joe Douglas, why would I want to put that out there? One, it devalues a little bit Sam Darnold. So, you know, teams know you want to move him. You can say, oh, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. And maybe you can get somebody to overpay for him.
Well, how about this? Maybe they're looking to get somebody to overpay for the pick.
Maybe.
Okay, because now they're like, you know what? We're thinking about moving him, and, you know, he might not be what we want him to be. We're still evaluating. And then all of a sudden somebody comes up, I call you up, Tom, that number two pick.
Yeah.
I'll give you four number ones. Don't forget, Tom, you got to remember, what did Detroit, what did L.A. give up for fucking 33-year-old Matthew Stafford? Three number ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Three number ones.
Yeah.
Okay. The Jets pick is as good as the number one pick in the draft, if not better, because everybody knows who's going number one.
True. Absolutely.
And you got whatever you want. Whatever you want, you're now entering the playground by yourself.
Yeah.
If you get that number two pick. And, I mean, chances are the Jets will pick whoever they want and fuck it up. But if you're a team like any other team that could make up an offer for that pick, come on.
Yeah.
And if you're Joe Douglas, you got to sit back and you got to say, we got to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe, I don't think that they're going to go after Deshaun Watson. I don't think it's going to happen.
Again, if you ask me where Deshaun Watson is going to wind up, I would tell you my number one pick is still Miami.
He's leaving Texas.
Well, you know, he's made every indication he's told them flat out. He's not worried about sitting out and not playing and taking the hit. I think he wants to go. Now, the question is, if you want to leave the Texans and your number one opportunity is you think is the Jets, I mean, no offense to the Jets, but you know, what have they proven that they can build? So why would you want to go there with a worse offensive line, no receivers?
Because you know why? It's a way to cement your legacy. You're going in on the bottom floor. You're going in on a team that has to build. You're leaving a team that was not taking your word on anything. So now, if they turn around and they said, listen, you come to New York, you know, we're going to give you the opportunity. Tell us who you want here. Who's going to work for you? Who's going to work best for you? Free agent wise.
That would be the dumbest thing they could do.
I agree with you. That's why Russell Wilson all of a sudden started banging the door on his case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, listen.
You know, because now all of a sudden he's like, well, if he can do it, he's here 5 years. I'm in the league 10 years.
Yeah.
Two Super Bowls. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, listen. I agree. Yeah, listen. I don't care what player it is. They should not have a say in who the coach is, who the GM is, who's on their team. They're not talent evaluators. They've, you know, I don't know their IQ for football. I have no idea. It could be based on friendship. No doubt. The last thing I'm giving any one of these guys is a say on who's on this team. I mean, if you want to say, hey, we're picking between these two guys, what you thought? I get it. But let me tell you something. There's no way in the world these guys should be consulted on the team's moves.
No. And you know what? Nothing. A guy like Deshaun Watson, he just signed, a 4-year deal?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, just recently, yeah.
Okay, so with a 4-year deal, okay, so let's just say the first year he got the $15 million, whatever it was,
yeah.
Okay, for the first year. Now he's entering the second year, but they gave him how much guaranteed money for 4 years or a signing bonus of how much for 4 years? If you want to leave, okay, that money has to come back to the team before we can even think about doing anything with you.
Okay.
It has to come back to the team.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to give up the signing bonus. You can't keep it. And write that into contracts. Write that into the CBA to see where you'll get guys, because now you just open the door to
sure.
a new thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They didn't ask me who they want. I want out. They didn't tell me who the new general manager is. I don't want to play for this guy. I want out. All right, because that's all he's doing is throwing a temper tantrum.
Oh, I absolutely.
To the point where now that It's like, put up or shut up.
No,
here's your opportunity. So now he has no chance.
Yeah.
But to turn around and say, well, I'm not playing. Fuck this, I'm not playing.
Yeah, no, listen, I still think he's out. Where he winds up is still a big question. I don't think he plays there. I think they're going to wait till the last minute. It's going to be, you know, the week of the draft. I still think the Jets are a possibility. I think if you're Deshaun Watson, you're using the Jets to get someplace else because you can't want to leave the Texans, who are bad, and go back to the historically bad to go to the historically bad Jets to play for a guy who has never been a head coach. You know, I don't care if you like Robert Saleh or not. You know, the Jets don't have an offensive line. They'll have a number one receiver. Although I like Mims and Crowder's not bad.
They got enough cap space that next year at this time, we could be talking very differently about the New York Jets.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but nothing in their past 10 years makes me believe that the Jets have the ability to go out there and use their money wisely or make the right draft picks. So, we'll see.
You know, Joe Douglas does come from a different fucking tree.
True.
Than previous people. He has experience with the Ravens on the Ozzie Newsome.
Yep.
He has experience helping to build a Super Bowl winner.
All true.
So right off the bat, he's got all of that going against for him. He also has a couple things against him.
Yeah.
But, you know, not for nothing, the first offseason was COVID-related mud, so to speak. So not just him, but everybody else.
Yeah.
Let's just say that he hits on the number one, on the first round pick. Mm-hmm. Let's say he hits out one out of the two and gets an extremely solid player. The other one is an okay player at best, still a contributor,
mm-hmm.
but on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 7 instead of a 10. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say that that's successful for the New York Jets?
Well, for the Jets, it will be. Again, you know, here's the thing. To me, it's fill in the blanks. You need to fix this offensive line. You need to get another receiver. Running back wouldn't hurt. You need some help on the defensive line. You need some help in the secondary. So can you patch it up and next year make yourself a 7-8 win team? I'll be impressed. Let's see what it looks like. But there's been too many draft picks, you know, the last few years. He's whiffed on the offensive line for 2 years in a row now. The first one, I'll give him the pass. Okay, I got you. He came in after free agency, came in after the draft. He got dealt it, whatever it was. But this year's offensive line was horrendous. Was no better.
No, it wasn't any better. You're right. 100% it wasn't. But you know what? They got a building block in left tackle.
Benton. Yes, I agree. I think he's going to be a good player.
They move their center over to guard.
That's possible.
So
move him.
They do have two-fifths of an offensive line. I will say that much. Or the beginnings of two-fifths of an offensive line.
Okay.
And if you don't know, they could turn around, package both Seattle picks to somebody and move up in this year's draft.
Yep.
And grab another offensive lineman. You don't know which way they're going to go.
No, no, 100%. And we're going to run through it on the 18th. We'll go through the free agency, whoever's moved and all that. But you know, let's go through the quarterbacks real quick. I got some NFL news and notes I want to throw at you. Let's run through the quarterbacks. So we're talking about Stafford, Goff, and Wentz has already moved on. Those three quarterbacks have moved already. So we'll leave them out. Russell Wilson, it looks like to me he's trying to get himself out of Seattle. Jeff, at this point, what percentage Russell Wilson is back in Seattle quarterbacking next year?
I don't know. As this story unfolds, it seems as though that relationship might not be nearly as solid as we thought. But I don't know. I don't see them. I don't think that they're in a position to replace him. I don't think that they're going to get a pick high enough, you know, or low enough, however you want to look at it. I don't think they're going to get a proper pick in order to – they don't even have a number one pick. So I think that they would be committing suicide by letting him go.
Well, I mean, you'd have to try to trade him, I would guess. So you
going to trade? Why are you going to trade one quarterback for another?
Well, that's the problem. You know, that's the thing. Then you're stuck with the disgruntled player. So I think it's 50-50. I like to do better than that, but I think it's 50-50. I think he actually wants out. The question is, will there be a sit down and a come to Jesus moment where they all sit down and say they can fix this and you'll get it right? I don't know. Maybe that'll be it, but I think Russell Wilson is at best a 50-50. I think Deshaun Watson, 75%, is out of Houston. I don't know where he's going to wind up, but the Russell Wilson, 50-50. Dak Prescott, coming off a big injury, probably going to get franchise tagged. If you're the Cowboys, do you go ahead and try to sign him long term? Or that's one of the big places that they think Russell Wilson may wind up. Do you make, if you're Dallas, do you go all in and try to go and try to sell the farm and get Russell Wilson and trade Dak Prescott there?
I think that may be the only one that could go as a straight up trade. I mean, he said he would go to Chicago. What does Chicago have to trade? I don't know who else. There was three other spots. I think Dallas was one of them, right?
Dallas, Carolina.
Why the fuck you want to go to Carolina?
Why would you want to go to Chicago? Why would you want to go to Chicago?
Chicago. It's a big city.
Yeah, I guess.
Carolina's not a big city. The Bears, listen, a lot of these older teams, Tom, the Redskins, the Giants, the Packers, even if they're bad, they're still going to get people that are going to want to play just for the historical significance of where the franchise is. You know, the Chicago Bears, would I ever want to play in a Chicago team? No. They seem to always be historically bad.
Mm.
You know, like they just suck. They don't win. Mm. I wouldn't want to be on a Chicago team. But there's guys that would love to play for the Bears for the history of it and say that they were part of that at one point in time.
What about Russell Wilson? What about Russell Wilson to the Saints?
Would make more sense than just about anything else. But Drew Brees is still the quarterback of that team. He hasn't retired.
Yeah, I firmly believe that Drew Brees is done. I would be surprised. I know people are talking about it. I would be surprised if Drew
stepped down yet.
No, I agree with you. I think it's going to happen soon. I can't see him coming back after this year. I just to think that they're going to be any better than they were this year, and he's going to be any better. And you saw the drop off from his play.
Yeah, but you know what? He gave me a big thing. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. They made a big thing over his little workout video. His pushing the sled.
Yes, I got you.
And the ball, whatever it was that he did that. Okay, and they're making a big thing out of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, all they're doing is they're certainly not saying, well, he looks like he's slowing down a little bit. You know, you still have Brady playing, plays in the same division, so you got two older quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You got Big Ben that's still playing at 39 years old. So why not keep Brees? Why not?
You know what? Because the last 4 or 5 years, this team has gotten off to great starts and lost, just never gotten to the big game, never won that big game to get them to the big game. And I think every year, the last two, for sure, three maybe, his postseason play has not been good. Now, granted, you're playing against better teams. I get all that. But, you know, Drew Brees is 40-something years old, and he did not look like Tom Brady played this year.
No, but you know what? We've also said this. Every year, the Saints do the same thing every year. They come out of the gate. They maybe stumble a little bit. They go 1-2. Then they win their next 11 or 12 in a row. And now all of a sudden they're in the playoffs after winning like 10, 11, 12 games in a row. When is the letdown?
Playoffs.
When is the letdown? And it happens in the fucking playoffs every year.
Yep.
So me, I would rather see my team win 8, 9 in a row. All right, they had a letdown. And then maybe try to win another 6 or 7 in a row, whatever it takes to get the job done. But, you know, these guys are getting older. COVID took a lot out of people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Drew Brees is still going to be better than a lot of options. You're going to tell me that, would you want Jacoby Brissett? Would you want the kid from San Francisco? Do you want Teddy Bridgewater? Do you want Carson Wentz to be your quarterback? And, you know, do you want what's that fucking name, Mariota, or the kid that's down there now is his backup? Winston, Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Instead of, I'd rather have Drew Brees than any of those guys I just mentioned.
I'm not disagreeing, but at some point, okay, let's put it this way. They had the New Orleans mayor going out there saying, "Oh, please, Russell Wilson, we want you to come to New Orleans. We dying to have you here." Now, first off, that's a diss to Drew Brees. You know, you can't be the new. What that guy has done for that city, Drew Brees, is an insult to him to have the mayor of the city openly trying to get Russell Wilson to come there when Drew Brees hasn't announced his retirement. So to me,
you're 100% right. Unless Drew Brees has told the mayor
again, same.
I plan on leaving.
Just my point. Just part of my point. But to me, I think it's the handwriting's on the wall. I don't see him coming back. I just don't. Maybe he will, and I'll be 100% wrong, and I'll admit to that in a heartbeat. But I think Drew Brees had enough. He's got a contract already waiting for him at NBC, and I think he moves on. I think he's done what he can do, and I don't think this team can be any better next year. I don't. You know, they have tons of cap problems. You know, he's been injured. He took a beating last year. I think he's done.
Well, you know what?
We'll see.
The season ended.
Yeah.
He still hasn't retired, and not for nothing. His season ended, what, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he still hasn't said anything.
No.
How long do you need to think about this?
I guess you want to be sure. I guess you want to be sure.
You want to be sure. You signed the contract. You know that you could fucking leave the game and go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler left the game and came back. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure that Drew Brees, who was light years ahead of Jay Cutler on every level, could turn around and say, you know what? I think that I'm going to walk away.
Hmm.
But, you know, call you up on the slide, like, Tom, listen, I may in a month change my mind. If I do, you know, I understand if there's got to be an open competition, but I want to know that the door is still cracked.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I may have to sneak in, but I want to know that I got that chance.
No, listen,
and
I...
What are you going to tell Drew Brees? You're going to tell Drew Brees no?
Well, I mean, at some point, I think you have to make that move to. Now, again, I won't be a hypocrite. You know, I said it when everybody wanted to replace Eli was tell me who you're going to replace him with. So I'll say the same thing here. Drew Brees should stay there until the Saints have a viable answer, or he decides he doesn't want to play. So I agree with you on that sense. Who are you going to get to replace him? There are some names out there. Could they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? Sure, they could. I think Garoppolo's out there looking.
It's, all right. So now every name that you mentioned, think, put them right up against side by side with Drew Brees. You're going to have your team, okay, whatever team it may be,
yeah.
The Saints. You're going to pick between Brees and Garoppolo and go Garoppolo?
But again, you saw Brees play last year, especially at the end of the year, Jeff. What did you see?
You've seen Garoppolo play, too.
Yeah, so I get it.
He was handing the ball.
No, I get it. Well, here's the thing. What if I said to you, okay, Drew Brees wants to come back, but he wants his $30 million a year, but we could get Jimmy Garoppolo, and we can and he only makes $15 million a year.
Well, if I'm paying Drew Brees $30 million a year and I'm going to win 12 games, 11 to 12 games, or I'm going to pay Garoppolo $15 million a year, I'm going to win 9. You know, and possibly sneak in as a wild card, or definitely win the division outright with Brees, I got to go Brees.
Let's end it with this one. Let's say this. What if I said, okay, I'll get you Jimmy Garoppolo, and you can say $15 million on the cap. Both of you are going to make the playoff. The Brees, you'll make it easy you win the division. Garoppolo sneaking as a wild card, and you're both going to lose in the first round. Because that's the way Brees has been going.
Yeah, it is the way that he's been going. But you still have to have the allure
mm-hmm.
of Drew Brees doing better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh,
Jimmy
no.
Garoppolo hasn't done anything.
I'll agree 100%, Jeff. I'm not, but I'll also say this, you know, maybe there's something to, and again, it doesn't happen very often and very, very few places, a quarterback who's having a tough time goes to another place and plays better or any kind of a player for that matter. So I wouldn't expect, but maybe Jimmy Garoppolo leaving where he is, goes to a team with a really good receiving core, good offense, Alvin Kamara and Sean Payton as your coach. And maybe Jimmy Garoppolo's career takes off a little bit.
It's possible.
So, I mean,
but
that's just
also, well, you don't know.